Amen. Amen. So, happy Mother's Day. My wife already said it so well. I am very well aware that it's Mother's Day. I did not forget, and I apologize for not having a Mother's Day message. But I want to continue in this series because I know we have a lot to get through this year with where we want to go with our first series of the year, talking about the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm not trying to slight our dear ladies and our dear sisters or anybody that are online today. I'm very thankful for my mom, who's still alive. She's not here today because she just finished up her radiation treatments and just doesn't want to be around people for a little bit till her body recuperates. And the doctors are giving her a pretty good word, so we're thankful for that. But how many know when no matter what the doctors give us, there's another doctor, amen? And he speaks over our lives, and so thank God for that. I'm thankful for the many women who through the years have spoken to my life as a spiritual mom. And I bring that up today because I know that Mother's Day can be a very joyful thing. And I know that Mother's and Father's Day can also be a very hurtful thing. Maybe our parents aren't here anymore. Maybe we didn't have a good relationship. Maybe the family's been fractured or those types of things. And so pain can come into that. And so the reason why I bring that up is, listen, every woman has the potential, whether they've been able to even have children or not, has the potential of being a spiritual mom. And my wife already said it, and I said it earlier, has the potential of being a spiritual mom. Men. We have the potential of being spiritual fathers, especially in a society where there aren't dads in people's lives. And so we need to rise to these things. We need to rise to the calling. Don't think that if you've never been able to have children, or maybe you never got married, or whatever the case is, don't think that God hasn't put giftings in you that you can't share downstairs in our children's church, or that you can't share with a child in your community, or that you can't wait on and serve somebody in the love of Jesus. Amen. And so I just want to say that because I think sometimes Mother's and Father's Days, men and women count themselves out, and God doesn't count you out, and God wants you to know He's put something in your life to be valuable and to minister. So I don't have a Mother's Day message, but I guarantee to you today that during this message, it's coming out. Amen. Because how many know God wants to speak to our ladies today, just as He wants to speak to our men and to the church? So I believe that that's going to happen. So let's get caught up. So that I can speak this message today. We've been talking about let there be hope. That's been our theme pretty much since Easter. Let there be hope. And that's not an actual command of God's, like let there be light or let there be the firmament separated, you know, when He created the heavens and the earth. But I want you to know it is definitely a plan for God in every one of our lives to bring us hope. I want you to know that today. Last week we got to experience five men that spoke the word of God from this 13 weeks of God's word that they've gone through. And you know what I've seen in our men's group? I've seen hope arise. We're getting back to Brother Keith's house, and that's, it's fun. You know, environment has a lot to do with it. Did we have fun here at the church? Did we have a powerful men's group here at the church? We did, but for some reason, that offering that Brother Keith makes for us of his basement becomes a powerful time of God's presence. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because somebody offered a room up and somebody sacrificed a room in their house for the men. But God moves in that place. And I'm watching our men's group grow again. I'm watching men come on fire again for God. Young men, old men, in-between men. I guess I got to put myself with old men now because I'm getting there. And you never want to look at yourself as old, right? You know, they say we see ourselves about 33 years old all the time. I don't know. I may see myself at 33, but you know what? After I play a game or after I do something strenuous in the yard, I recognize I'm not 33 anymore. So, but whatever the case is, let there be hope. Jesus, and here's what we've been doing. We've been looking at how Jesus' resurrection brings God's plan of hope to each and every one of our lives. We said that Jesus' resurrection from the dead brings hope to all that is dead. Just like the disciples' hopes were dashed when his body was laid in the tomb that Good Friday evening, we sense the same type of despair in the situations that we go through. Oh, that thing has died in my life. Oh, that person is no longer with me. Oh, we're going through this and we're going through that. But hope appears when we least expect it. See, here's the problem. We get so distracted by the thing around us that we don't see what God is doing. And so in the midst of that death, in the midst of whatever it is that's affecting us, I want you to know that hope brings everything back to life. Amen? One of the main points of that message back on Easter was to make sure that you're looking for what God is doing rather than looking at what is going on. Because how many know the enemy would love to keep our focus on what's going on rather than getting us focused on what God is doing? Because he doesn't want us to know that God still has a plan in our hurt and in our pain. We said that Easter's resurrection comes just at the right time. It may feel like one of the darkest times in your life, but I want you to know today, God has not forgotten you. And resurrection is victory over death. And then the week before, we saw that love brings hope and triumphs over death. What are we doing with the love that God has shown to us? What are we doing? Because our lives, we said in that message, are confirmation of either our denial, like Peter, that's the man we looked at that week, or our connection to Jesus. The way we're living life is either denying Christ as our Savior, and I know none of us want to do that, but the way we live life sometimes does, the things we are involved in, or the things that we're involved in, the things that we're doing, the things we're speaking, the things we're thinking, can be a confirmation that we're connected to Jesus. You see, the reason why connection is so important is because Jesus brings grace. He seals the New Testament with grace. That's what the New Testament is. It's the testament of grace. He gives his blood, he gives his life for us so that we can experience grace. No longer do we have to live by the law, because nobody could live by the law. Nobody could match the law. Anybody here not broken any of the Ten Commandments? I'm not saying you broke them all. You've broken one, right? Let's be, maybe more than one, right? Listen, that's why the law was given. The Old Testament was given so that man could know we have no hope of keeping this. We have no hope of doing this. And every time the law is brought up, we are failures. But then Jesus comes, and Jesus gives his life, and Jesus takes us into salvation. And now we can be sons and daughters of the living God again. And through grace, we can know hope. Because of grace, our relationship with God is restored. And because of our relationship with God being restored, here's the key. Our relationship with others can also be restored. And then lastly, love for Jesus is proven by a life for Jesus. And I like to say it like this. Once you have experienced the grace of God, you cannot go backwards. Amen? It's impossible. So praise God for that. As I said in the last two messages in this series, this four-message series, so we have one more coming, life's greatest challenges can only be faced when we have the hope of Jesus' power and his presence living within us and giving us faith in him. Amen? Praise God. Today, we find that resurrected hope meets us in the midst of sorrow and grief. It is hard for me, we're going to get to these in just a little bit, just hold on to them. It is hard for me to believe that my father has now been gone from this earth and with Jesus for over 5 years now. It's just, time flies. And I need to tell you, there hasn't been a day in my life that I don't think of him, that I don't miss him, and that I don't long that he would be on this earth again. And I'll never forget when Mom called me that Thursday night, that Dad had the stroke in Florida. Mom called all the children, all the kids. And I'll never forget, I called everyone I could to ask prayer instantly. And I remember walking the streets of Collings Lakes. It was cold, it was February. I remember walking the streets of Collings Lakes. I don't even know if I had put a jacket on. I just said to my wife, because she was by my side, but I said to my wife, I just need to go out and walk. And as I walked, I grabbed my phone and I called Pastor Dennis Shearer, because he's not just a pastor to me, he's a very close friend and buddy. And for probably 45 minutes, just listen to his voice console me as I walked the streets crying and just knowing that that was going to be the end. I mean, yes, I have a faith in God. Yes, I know what God could do. But I just knew that this was going to be it. As a matter of fact, a month before, when my dad had left, exactly a month, so that day, a month before, as I kissed my father goodbye, I remember coming in and telling my wife, only my wife, I'm not going to see my dad again. And I didn't know what that meant, but the Lord was preparing my heart. But I was thankful for everybody who prayed, and we prayed for my dad, and we believed in our hearts because we know what God could do, that God would come through. But God's coming through. Listen, I'm getting somewhere with this. It's not just about my pity party today. God's coming through happened in a different way than what we thought. Amen? And what we wanted. Did God come through? He most certainly did. He took my dad home. My dad would never want to be in a wheelchair. My father would never want to be hooked up to machines. And so if he came through that, the life that he was looking at was not one that my father would have been happy with. And so God took my father home. And I need to tell you, as probably all of us know who have been through this, I'm not the only one who has lost a parent or a loved one. There has been through these last 5 years wrestling with a whole range of emotions through the years. Sometimes there's grief. Sometimes there's heartbreak. Sometimes there's confusion. God, why didn't you do what we wanted you to do? We knew that you can do it. There's never been anger on my part, though. And I know that there are some people who go through great anger when God takes a loved one. But there was never anger on my part because I knew the love of God. I knew the promise that some glorious day I'm going to see my dad again. I know that. But do you know what else there was? Because of my relationship with God and because of my understanding of His Word, there has been and still is a deep-rooted comfort every time I think of my Father. For we know that in God, though we grieve, listen to this, this is the point, though we do not grieve alone. Let me say that again. For we know that in God, though we do not grieve alone. The Gospels, the New Testament, is full of stories of Jesus' interaction with people, where He shines His light in the midst of their darkness, where He comes and shows His love, and where He shows His compassion and what they're going through. And one of the most powerful resurrection moments actually takes place within His own disciples. Not the 12 disciples, but you need to understand that Jesus had a group of disciples. At one point, they're numbered at 70. There were people who followed Him. There were people who supported His ministry. There were people who went with Him and did ministry with Him. And it is in this encounter with Jesus that we see the way that Jesus meets people in the midst of their grief and sorrow. This is going to speak to someone today. Online, don't check out. This is going to speak to someone today. John chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. You know the story. Lazarus. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. He was the brother of Mary and Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to Him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." You might want to underline verse 4. That is key to this whole story. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, He stayed 2 more days in the place where He was. Then after this, He said to His disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." So here in chapter 11, we're introduced to Jesus' close friend Lazarus. And Lazarus has 2 sisters. You'll read about them throughout the Bible. There's other situations where they come up. They are Martha and Mary. There's a few Marys in Jesus' life. His mom is Mary. Naturally, we know her. She's a special woman for Mother's Day. And then there is also Mary Magdalene, the prostitute who came to know Jesus. And then Mary and Martha, who are Lazarus's sisters. These sisters are heartbroken to find out that their brother is very ill and that he may die. And so they do what any one of us would do. Jesus has apparently had a history with this family, so they know him, they know what he does, they know the way he works, they understand him to be the Son of God. He spent time with them in their home, and they are described, as I just read, as people whom Jesus loved very much. So it would be natural then that these sisters would send word to Jesus, and the word was pretty much this: "Come quickly, our brother is going to die if you don't get here. He's very ill." Surprisingly, listen, Jesus loves Lazarus. He spends time with Lazarus. Lazarus probably supported his ministry, was involved in the ministry. It's surprisingly then that when Jesus gets word of his state of physical illness, that he decides to remain 2 more days where he is with his disciples. COVID has changed a lot of this. But it is very natural for a pastor to expect, especially when the 3 a.m. and the phone rings, that I've got to run. Because it's usually a trauma unit situation. It's usually somebody ends up in jail, or somebody has been in a car accident, or somebody's headed to the hospital. And so, Pastor, would you go and pray with us? Sure, we will. Now, COVID has hindered a lot of that stuff. Thank God it's starting to open up. But for almost 2 years, there were times when people called me that I had to say, "I can't do anything for you but pray for you here, because I can't even get into the hospital." But they expected Jesus would come. Now, why would Jesus do this? Why not come as soon as you receive the call for help? And Jesus answers this question in the text that I just read. Jesus' delay was somehow going to give God the glory in the end. Listen to this. Moms, listen to this. Women, because you are sometimes the closest to your children. And many times, mom, it's you that they'll run to. They do run to dad, but most of the time it's mom that they seek out when they're going through something painful. Because they know that a mother's love will go to the grave for them. Not that a father's love won't. But you understand what I'm saying. There's a special connection. You carried that child, right, for 9 months in your body. So there's a connection. So hear this, mother. You may not know it, but the situation, God is always going to receive the glory. And you may not understand it. And so Jesus hears that Lazarus is ill. Lazarus may die. And Jesus says, you know what, guys? We're not going to go right away. There's some other things that are going on here. I'm going to stay. And then in 2 days, we'll go. And then one day he says, hey, let's go to Judea. Let's go see Lazarus. Here's the thing, moms. Here's the things, dads. Here's the thing, men and women, brothers and sisters. Jesus sees the bigger picture. Come on. Jesus sees the bigger picture. Every one of us can recall a situation that we found ourselves in where we needed Jesus to show up. The doctor tells us something from a report. The boss gives us a piece of paper. This situation happens in the family. That situation happens in the family. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's a sickness that we need healing from. We need Jesus to show up. Maybe it's a broken relationship that can only be restored by Jesus. We need Jesus to show up. Maybe it's a dream that we had for our family, for our career, for our marriage, for our children. That's no longer a reality because something that took place. We need the help of Jesus. You see, like Mary and Martha, sometimes we find ourselves in need of God to show up, but he seems to be nowhere in sight. Anybody been there? Where's God in this? Right? That's the question I get is, Pastor, where was God in this? Pastor, why didn't God answer my prayer the way I prayed it? God, Pastor, is God going to move in this? Pastor, I had a word from God, but it hasn't come to pass. You see, here's the truth, church. Here's the truth. Our timing is often not God's timing. Our timing is often not God's timing. For Mary and Martha, the timing was now, Jesus. You need to come now. Jesus' timing was 2 days. And I've seen that in my life, where I've gotten confused, never angry. Thank God I don't get angry toward him in any way. But God, I this or that, and God, I don't understand. God, and maybe anger, maybe my anger is poured out in a different way. Because I want to tell you, it's not a sin to be angry at God. And I think some of us don't realize that. Martha and Mary were angry with Jesus. We're going to see that when he shows up. And they had right to do so. But see, he sees a bigger picture than we do. In this story, it seems that Jesus, in all his knowing wisdom, is strategic in his response. We don't see that at the time when we're going through something. He sees a way to make a kingdom difference, not just for Mary and Martha, not just for Lazarus, but for the people of the town. He's going to make a difference. I believe that every prayer we pray, Jesus does answer, church. Listen to me. Don't ever stop praying. Some people I'll talk to about a situation. Oh, I stopped praying, Pastor, because God is not speaking. God's always speaking. Here's the deal, though. Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. And we don't like the no. And we think God should just be a Burger King God. Yes, we can, man, we can do whatever you want. You want the pickle? You don't want the lettuce? Don't worry. It won't upset us. Remember the old hymn from Burger King? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us, all we want. Let us have it your way. Where do those things come from? Why can't we ever get rid of those things? My gosh. And so you know what I'm talking about here. Every prayer is answered, but sometimes the answer is no. Take that puzzle piece that I gave to you today. I know it's going to be a simple illustration, but I wanted you to see it. I wanted it to be in your hand. And then at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to do something with it as well. Have you ever tried to put a puzzle together without looking at the box cover? Now, maybe a child's puzzle, that can be done. But if you get a 5,000 or a 10,000 piece puzzle, you got some problems. Especially if you're doing an outside scene where the colors are pretty much close to, the flowers are the same colors or those types of things. You know what? This is not why I don't have hair, but you're going to pull your hair out in doing a puzzle like that. I have seen puzzles with so many pieces. I've seen puzzles with so many close coloration. And the image, it's just impossible to sit down and put that puzzle together without looking at the box top and making sure that every piece fits in its place. In each one of our lives, we are, church, a single piece of a massive puzzle. Every one of our lives. Our lives fit somewhere in the scheme of God's plan for this earth, from the moment that he created Adam and Eve until the moment that he will destroy this earth with fire and create the new heaven and new earth for Jesus to reign with all of his saints. We fit into that puzzle. We fit into that picture. But we are limited in our time because we only see our time. And we don't understand the timing of God. And we don't understand that He sees the box cover. We don't. So when trials come and when difficulties arise, it can be heartbreaking when we can't simply see how this fits in to what God is doing. Does that make sense to you today? I think we've all experienced it. How is this going to fit into the beautiful picture that God has painted for mankind, that God has painted for me? How does this pain fit in? How does this diagnosis fit in? How does this loss of job fit in? How does this lack of finances fit in? How does this pain and hurt in my life fit in, God? Because we know that you're a loving God. We know that you're a beautiful God. You say that you only have good things in store for your people. God, how does this work? At the moment, I just look at a broken image. Let me bring it back to the image that I started. I don't understand why my father's life came to an end when it did. It seemed to me that he had so much more to go. I don't have the answer, and I don't have the answers to many families who I stand before them in funeral parlors and in church services, and I bury their dead. I don't have the answers, and they've all asked me, Pastor, how does this fit in? Where was God in this? And all that I can tell them is, listen, God has a plan. I know you don't want to hear that right now, but God has a plan. And in the midst of that plan, this somehow fits into the puzzle. But you won't know it because you don't have the box top. You can't see from the Garden of Eden to the day that we stand before Jesus, but He does. He understands it. He sees it. At that moment, it never seems to fit into the picture of what I see, of what you see. But I have found a peace in the fact that God will use and did use my father's life to bring Him glory. And I know that He's going to do that about my life. And I know that He's going to do that about your life if we will serve Him and commit our lives to Him. Does that make sense? Because Jesus sees the bigger picture. And one day, on the other side of eternity, I am going to stand before Jesus. And He is going to show me things that I have buried, that I have put away because I don't understand. I'll never understand. And I'm going to say, Jesus, are you serious? It was that easy? But it hurt so much on earth. But it was that easy? That's what you were doing? That's what you were bringing about? Oh my gosh, I should have been more patient in that. Oh my gosh, I should have had greater trust in you in that. I want to bring that out to mothers today because I don't have a Mother's Day message. Moms, again, you see the pain in your children's lives. Moms, again, you pray over your children's lives. Moms, again, you release things into your children's lives. And there's going to become times when things happen in the lives of your children, in the life of your family, in your relationship with your spouse or whoever that was, the father was. In those situations, there's going to come times and you're going to say, Jesus, you left me. Jesus, you deserted me. Jesus, you weren't with me. And Jesus is going to say, no. This is just a piece of the puzzle, Mom. Continue to pray. Continue to believe. I'm going to work it all out. In the end, wait till you see what I'm doing. In the end, wait till you see the result. Man, I'm not putting you out. I just wanted to speak to moms today because it's Mother's Day. Resurrection is going to bring hope. Amen. Jesus is rising from the dead. Jesus is not being in the tomb. Paul says if Jesus' body stayed in the tomb, then we are the most pitiful people. Why? Because we are singing songs that mean nothing. We are declaring faith to something that's dead. And we have no hope. Why are we even in this building today? I'll tell you why we're in this building today. Because you and I have discovered that Jesus is alive. And that Jesus does do what He says He can do. And He's going to move and mightily and have His way in our lives. The puzzle piece is going to fit. Let's move on. I'm way behind. John chapter 11, verse 17 to 32. So when Jesus came, He found that He had already been in the tomb 4 days. Lazarus is dead. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem. Now remember, Jesus waited 2 days and then traveled. It wasn't just a, hey, we'll be there in an hour. Okay, so that's where 4 days comes from. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, but about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. You could hire mourners. They were professional mourners. And you hired them, or your friends did it with you, and you came and you mourned with the family. You wept and you screamed and you cried because it made people feel better. Crying makes people feel better in these types of situations. So there's a whole group of people that are joining them. Now Martha, listen, here's Martha. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him. She's going to give Him a piece of her mind. And so He's in the street still coming in the town, And she's sitting there. It says Mary was sitting in the house, but how many know Mary's going to come meet him too and give her a piece of her, give him a piece of her mind as well. Verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord," here's the title of my message, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." How many times has I heard that as a pastor? Pastor, if God would have been there, this wouldn't have happened. If God was the loving God that he says he is, this wouldn't have happened. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he says to her, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and he's calling for you." Oh, yeah? Great, because I want to talk to him too. That's really how the discussion went. Because how do I know that? Because I've been in your homes and I've been with you when these things have happened. Or, I'm sorry, I've been in my home when these things have happened. Let me not bring you into the picture. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord," again, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Many gathered to come and to support the family as they mourned Lazarus's passing. Martha meets Jesus as he arrives. Mary remains in her grief in the house. And this portion of the passage reveals, I believe, such raw emotion of humanity. And I believe that it gives us such a blueprint to see how we should respond to the losses that we experience in our lives as well. In both verse 21 and verse 32, Mary and Martha respectively each say a phrase that we have all either said or can relate to something in our lives out of sadness and a broken heart. Mary and Martha say, "Lord, if you had only been here, if you had come when we called you, our brother would not have died. If only you would have been here. If only you would have been here." The beauty of the Bible, let me tell you what I love about the Bible, that other world religions or cults or whatever you want to call them, try to leave out. And that is the frailty and the weakness of the men and women in the Bible. We have that captured so that we know we're not the only ones that go through these emotions. We see their brokenness. We see their failures. God made sure it was recorded so that when we come to a situation, God can assure us in our lives, you're not the first one to go through this. And you won't be the last. And what I did for them, I will do for you. And so praise God for two mad sisters that are screaming at Jesus and saying, "Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened." The relationship between humans and God is never clean and tidy. Can I tell you that today? And pray that you understand that. I am not a pastor that's going to tell you if you give your heart to Jesus that everything is going to be roses and gold. What I'm going to tell you is when you give your heart to Jesus, you just put a zero on your back. And the enemy is going to zero in on that target. You put a target on your back, and the enemy is going to zero in on it. That's what I'm going to tell you. But here's what else I'm going to tell you. Jesus says, "But you're my child now. I've given my blood for you. I have authority over the things of your life. I give you that authority, and I will be with you, and I will walk with you, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." There it is. Hallelujah. Satan, take that. That's a left hook, man. I tried watching the fights last night. I fell asleep. I couldn't do it. But I know there were some great uppercuts that I saw happen, and that's all I know about. Throughout the book of Psalms, we see some of the most emotional writings and poetry ever written. Sometimes the writings are from hearts full of joy. Just read one of David's Psalms. Poor David's broken up in the beginning, but by the end, he's dancing around and shouting. And sometimes they're from broken hearts. This seems to be where Mary and Martha find themselves. If only you would have been here. Listen, let me tell you my next point. Jesus is not afraid of your feelings. You're being mad, you're being upset, you're being confused, you're being whatever is not going to remove Jesus from the throne today. Mary and Martha are angry, they are confused, they're in anguish, Can I tell you? We can relate to some of the things that they're feeling. They once hoped that Jesus would come to turn things around, and now they've lost all hope. He's dead. 4 days he's been in the grave. What I love about this story is that Jesus never reprimanded them. He never gets frustrated with them. He's not offended by what they say to him. And he's not afraid of their emotion. Instead, what does he do? He brings comfort to their hearts. Mary, you shouldn't believe like that. You know who I am. I sat in your living room and you fed me meals all the time. Lazarus didn't believe that way. He doesn't do any of that. He says, Mary, do you understand who's standing before you? I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who lives for me, when they die, will rise again. He reminds them that for those who place their faith, their hope, and their trust in Christ, death is not the end. Let me say that again. I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about those things that have died in your life. Moms, something that's died in your life, something that hasn't come to pass in the life of your child, sickness, illness, something that's going on in the family. Though death is not the end in Jesus Christ. That quick, I forgot what I was going to say. So when they place their faith and hope and trust in Christ, death is not the end. He reminds them as a foreshadowing of Easter, because Easter hadn't happened yet. He reminds them that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus comforts as the sisters lay their raw pain out before him. They bare their hearts before him. I have said this so many times before in messages, and I have told some of you these very words, but I believe them and I'm going to say it again. Do not be afraid to speak to God with honesty about your hurt. Do not be afraid to holler and scream. Do not be afraid to raise your voice. As long as you don't curse God, and as long as you don't come against him, release your heart. Some of the greatest times in Kim and I's marriage was where we were able to get vocal to one another and explain the hurt that we were really going through. It may sound to the neighbors that we were throwing things at one another. We weren't. And you know what happened? Through that came healing that was unbelievably strong. Now, should every couple just yell at each other all the time? That's not what I'm saying. But there are times when you need to bear your heart. There are times when you need to let loose. There are times, and when you come to God, and I think so many of us are afraid that God's going to be mad at us. We're afraid, so we just get mad at God and we don't talk to him. Well, God don't want to hear from me because I'd give him a piece of my mind. Listen, you can give God a piece of your mind, but you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, don't spend too much of it because I know what you got. You know what I'm saying? But know this, I love you. Now that don't fit your life, it can fit my life. He knows what I've got. Allow yourself to be vulnerable before God. This is the God whom we serve. He has a thick skin. And think about it. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. He walked on this earth for 33 years. Max Lucado, I gave my books away last week because I had them digitally, but whoever reading them, I forget what book it is, but in one of his many books, Max Lucado is just a great author. He just writes things so simply and brings out the love of Jesus in so many ways. But here's what he once said, permit yourself tears because God understands. And when I was growing up in church, there was a song that the music ministries would come as the bands would come, and they would sing a song like this, tears are a language, God understands. Are you getting it today, church? Stop being quiet. Stop getting ulcers over being mad at God because you won't talk to him. Lay it out before him. Let him know what's going on. He already knows. He already knows you're mad at him. He already knows you're upset. He just wants to hear it. He wants you to speak it out. He wants you to release it. When we begin to live with this kind of honesty, I believe that this is when we begin to experience resurrected hope. We discover that the loss we have experienced is not the end of the story. The Bible tells us that God will use everything in our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for his glory. Amen? And for our ultimate good. Praise God. So talk to God about how you feel. Let out with it. He will never turn away from you. In fact, what I think you will find is that your tears flow, and when your heart breaks, you'll find out that you're not alone, that he's there with you. John 11:33-35, we need to move on. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And said to him, Lord, come and see. Shortest scripture of the Bible, two words. And it's recorded so that we understand God knows our pain. Chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. Say that again. Would you say that with me? Jesus wept. Again, Jesus wept. Why do I bring that out? To show you that Jesus understands the pain that you're going through. Jesus is touched to his core as he witnesses the profound grief that is all around him. Because it's not just the sisters anymore, there's a whole town that's grieving. He asks, where have you laid him? And then in verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Though Jesus in his divinity, the Son of God, knew that he was going to resurrect Lazarus from the time that they cried out to him, he knew that this was going to happen. In his humanity, he feels their pain. It was his friend who was now buried. And I want to go a step further, and I want to tell you that I believe that another reason why Jesus wept was because he recognized that his friend would have to die again. Because I've got to raise him for them to see who God is. But when I raise him, guess what? Another sickness or age or something else is going to take Lazarus out. Jesus never wanted us to live to die again. He wants us to live it forever. Amen? That's not biblical. That's just something I feel. But I want you to know this, and someone needs to hear this morning. Someone online, someone in this house needs to hear this. When you weep, Jesus weeps as well. When you hurt, Jesus hurts just like you hurt. And when your heart breaks, Jesus' heart breaks for what you're going through. The scriptures tell us in the beautiful poetry of Psalms that God is close to the brokenhearted and he binds up all of their wounds. You can find that in Psalm 34 and Psalm 147. Though we live in a broken world, this is the only answer I can give to people why people die at young ages, old ages, why things happen that happen. We live in a broken world. This is not the world that God created it to be. It's marred by sin. And though we live in a broken world where sickness is a reality, where disappointment is all too common, and relationships can be painful sometimes, we have a God who is not somewhere far off and doesn't know what's not going on. Amen. I want to tell you today to the mothers that are crying in Ukraine, I want to tell you today to the men who are dying in Ukraine, giving their lives for this war. I want to let you know that God is not distant from any of them. I want to let you know that his heart hurts for humanity because we're broken. We shouldn't be killing one another. We should be helping one another. But God knows and he cares. And God knows where you're at, mom. And God knows where you're at, dad. And God knows where you're at, brother and sister. And he understands and he cares and he loves you and he wants to bring hope to it. We have a God who enters into our pain in order to bring us healing. That's why he came and lived 33 years in flesh. So he could die so that we don't have to. John 11, 38 to 44, let's finish this. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, whoa, Lord, it's 4 days. By this time, he stinks. By this time, there's a stench. We don't want to smell that, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you? And this is not a rebuke. He's reminding her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place. And can I tell you, there wasn't a stench. But the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his voice as he had called Lazarus' name so many times before. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I'm not praying to you out loud for you to, because I don't think you hear me. I'm praying out loud. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he's saying. I'm praying out loud so that those around that have been hired to mourn, those that are around that are mourning with this family, that this town would understand who I'm talking to and what you can do. That's what he says. Verse 42, I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said those things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. Jesus comes to the tomb in only a few chapters. Another stone would be rolled away. Do you get it? In just a few chapters of John, Jesus' body is going to be laid in a tomb. There's going to be a stone rolled in front of that. And it's not going to be 4 days, but it's going to be three, because he had to be better than everybody else because he's the Son of God. And so everybody else had been raised in 4, 5, 6 days that Jesus did, but Jesus would raise in three. And this tomb would now be empty. You see, Jesus was resurrected. His victory over sin and death is what allows us to hope. It's what allows us to enjoy life. It's what allows us to overcome everything that our life brings against us. Now, Martha is instantly concerned. Lazarus, he's been dead 4 days, God. He's going to smell. I don't want all these people to smell that. But Jesus reminds Martha and the others that faith is the key to resurrecting hope. It's faith. Martha, remember, do you not believe? Listen to me, church family. With faith, we will see the glory of God through miracles that can only come by the power and the presence of the resurrected and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Last point, I don't need to be long here. Jesus brings dead things to life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Jesus prays to God. He tells Lazarus to come out of the tomb. Miraculously, Lazarus is resurrected from the dead. He comes out. He's still wrapped in grave cloths. He had been dead. That was proof he had been dead. Everyone is amazed. Jesus seems to believe that those who witnessed this miracle would be transformed by this experience and that God would receive all the glory. This kind of story seems to be the theme of Jesus' life. Everywhere he went, this is what we see in his ministry. He has come to bring new life to everything and to everyone and to bring God the glory. In this story, Jesus brings a dead man back to life. In our lives, Jesus can bring resurrection to the places that feel dead to us. Amen. He can bring joy back to those things that were once dead. Jesus can bring it back to life. The dreams that we once had for our lives, the dreams that we once had for our children, the dreams that we once had for the way that we would live life and go through things. Listen, Jesus can bring those things back to life. He can resurrect relationships. Amen. He can resurrect purpose. We know from these series of messages that he definitely resurrects hope. Jesus can do anything that God would receive the glory. But there's the key. He wanted God to receive the glory. So this morning, I want to invite you to see, maybe for the first time, that though your heart may be hurting, you are not alone. Jesus weeps with you. Though the puzzle piece in life that you have been given may not make sense right now, you can trust God that he sees the bigger picture and that your story is not yet finished and that God is going to write and write and write and finish it and bring it to a close. And so as we close this morning, what I want you to do is take the piece of puzzle piece that you have, the one that I gave you this morning. And if you have a pen or a pencil, and if not, there's some in the back, you can do it later. I want you to write down a place of pain for you that maybe you're in right now, or that maybe you're going through. Nobody's going to look at these. If you choose to leave them here at the altar when we leave, that's fine. I'm just going to get them all together. And I've got a runny nose. I'm going to get them all together. And I'm just going to throw them out. Because it's symbolic. Amen? And so if you want to take it home and you want to deal with it at home, set it somewhere as a reminder of what God's doing, you can do that as well. But I want you to write down right now a place of pain in your life. It might be a sentence. It might be just a few letters. It might be just a few words, but it represents the place that you are in right now in life. Write it down. You can bring it to the altar. If you want to bring it to the altar now, turn it face down so that nobody sees it. We're going to pray over these things. If you want to put it in your pocket and take it home as a reminder of what God's doing, that's fine as well. But I want to pray. So if that's you, go ahead and write it down. If you want to bring it to the altar, we're going to pray right now. You just want to hold it up before God, fold it so people don't see it. That's fine. Hold it up in your hands. Wherever you want to do right now, as a measure of faith to say, I believe that God has this. I believe that this piece is going to fit into place. No matter what I'm seeing right now, I know God sees the bigger picture. If that's you right now, go ahead and move. If you want to bring it up or if you just want to stand and hold it up in your hands, go ahead and move after you're done writing. I'll give you a few minutes we don't need, but whatever it takes. Thanks, John. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray and we're going to commit these things to the Lord and ask him to bring this message to life in the situations of our lives. Amen. So as you're done, you can either bring it up to the altar, lay it down, or you can just stand and just hold it up in the air. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Those at home, I'm sorry, I could have put it online. I didn't think about it. I should have. But just draw something on a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be a puzzle piece. That was just for the picture of what I wanted to bring out today. Amen. I'll wait another minute or so. There may be some people who just don't feel comfortable standing. That's fine. Hallelujah. Brother, you want to bring it up on the altar? Go ahead. Man, lay it there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I call giving it to God, just laying it down. But you don't have to do that if that's not where you're at. Just hold it up. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen, Jesus. I won't look at them, I promise. I'm just going to toss them all out after we pray. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, we have either laid these down on the altar today as a sign that we are surrendering them to you. We no longer want to deal with them. They have been a big enough pain. They have been enough big enough disturbance. And God, we just want to get it out of our hands and say, Jesus, deal with this. This is what your word declares. Or we're holding it in our hand today to say, God, there's still things that I want to do with this, but I'm giving it to you. And I want to see. There's something I need to see. There's something I need to experience. Or there's something I need to do at home just to remind me that you are definitely moving in this situation. We do not see the whole picture. We do not understand. Paul says it like this. I see dimly. I see bits and pieces. It won't be until I get to heaven that I'll see the whole picture. But Lord, right now we know that you see the big picture, and we know that this fits in somewhere into the picture and the fabric of humanity, the puzzle of humanity, that you have put us in at this very time and space in the history of man. We believe that you have something that you're doing. We don't necessarily say you brought this upon us, but we're saying in the midst of this, it didn't take you by surprise, and that you are not at all weakened by it being there, and that you are not unable to do what you said you would do. So we place it in your hands. It may mean healing. It may mean a better understanding, a clarity of things. It may mean us having to get into your word and applying what the word says to this area of our life. It may mean getting a word from you or spending time with you and journaling. Lord, there's a lot of things that this could mean. God, we surrender it to you. We no longer can worry about it. It's not ours to worry about. You know the picture. You know what you've designed for my life. And I believe that, as Jesus said about Lazarus, it is meant for the glory of God. Others will see. We'll be sure to speak it, the testimony. We'll be sure to deliver the word. Others will know that there is a God in heaven who cares and loves his people, and that surely hope does resurrect, and hope comes to life in every situation of death and darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God.